Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Cindy is a shy woman on meds who works at a cubicle job at her aunt's company. Her parents had high hopes for her when she published a kid's book at age 8, but now she's fallen on hard times and can barely take care of herself. At work, she encounters Armin, a much younger man with a strange condition. When he falls into a deep sleep, he can walk, eat, use the toilet, perhaps even drive a car. All with no memory of anything he does. Armin may be just the sort of guy Cindy is looking for. Talk about a dysfunctional relationship. He doesn't even know who she is. They also don't know there's a criminal conspiracy lurking all around them. Will they meet for real, or will they forever be separated by a nocturnal divide? Nocturne is the name of an unusual new Canadian movie showing in Toronto as part of the Canadian Film Fest. It was co-written and directed by Saul Pincus and stars Mary Cronert as Cindy and Nicoy Robinson as the sleepwalking Armin. And I'm very pleased to have both Saul and Nicoy here to tell us more about this new movie. Hi, Saul.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Nicoy.
Hi, Daniel.
Okay. So, Saul, where did you come up with this idea, a painfully shy insomniac who falls for a sleepwalker?
I was actually on vacation, kind of a wonderful vacation that then became kind of a weird situation, and I was desperate for ideas. We were in Australia visiting a lot of my wife's family, and then someone needed some medical attention, and we decided to extend our trip. So a beautiful environment was still a beautiful environment, but the tone of the trip had suddenly become very serious. And we were freelancers. We could extend our stay there, but it was kind of a desperate time for, you know, you plan a certain duration and then you're kind of, suddenly you're there another month. And so I think desperation breeds wonderful possibilities for the mind, certainly fertile areas for it to go off on tangents. But I will say that it did come to me in a flash. Most ideas don't. I was just a seminar today where one of the people on the panel said that if you hear anyone tell you that they've come up with an idea for a film in a flash like that, it's not true. I didn't use the word not sure, used a different word, but the fact of the matter is that the core idea did come to me in a flash at that one point.
Were
it's rare. It's rare.
Were
no,
you jet-lagged in Australia?
No, I was there. I had already been there a month and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was like, it was a wonderful thing. And I thought about it and I went, no, this can't possibly be. Because when you come up with ideas like that, they're like, no, someone made a movie like that. You'll come up with a reason why you shouldn't go ahead and do it. But no, I sort of sat on it for 6 months and realized.
But the concept strikes me as more like a rom-com than a thriller. So why did it become more of a action, not an action thriller, but a combination romance and thriller?
I think it came from the core of thinking about introversion versus extroversion. That sounds rather kind of scientific and lame maybe, but
no.
But the idea is you spend a lot of time with yourself, or where you spend a lot of time with very few people, you get a sense of the world that is different from others, and you try to make sense of that world. And reality can sometimes become skewed when you don't have a lot of influences. I guess what it comes really for me, where the source of it is that I moved to Toronto almost 2 decades ago, and from Montreal, and the vibe of each city are quite different. And I spent a little bit of time when I got here working as a film editor, editing feature films. And when you spend time alone editing, as you often spend a lot of that time alone, again, you're sort of in your own headspace, and that can create, a bunch of different thoughts and ideas. I did not have the experiences the characters have in the movie. It's a complete construct. There's nothing about it that's autobiographical.
But you had the feeling for it.
I would hope so.
So, Nicoy, your character is really interesting. It's sort of two characters at once, the waking Armin and the sleeping Armin.
Yeah.
So when you portrayed yourself sleepwalking, what did you have to leave out?
Wow, that's an interesting question. The biggest thing that I left out, and it kind of seems a bit like the obvious answer, would be the consciousness, I'd say. Saul was fantastic from day one. The moment I met him, sort of bringing me into Armin's world a bit more. Walking in initially after reading what I had of the script, it was kind of tough to understand where Armin was coming from. And I think that was one of the biggest things that helped me throughout the entire project, was understanding where he came from. And once I was able to do that, it was a little bit easier to kind of connect or disconnect at the times that I needed to bring everything together or separate them.
One of the grossest or most interesting parts of you sleepwalking is when you eat. And I looked you up online. I may be wrong, but you've worked as a restaurateur as well.
Yeah.
So tell me, how is your attachment with food expressed in the movie?
It's funny. At the time, I wasn't in the restaurant game. I currently now I'm a partner of a budding brand by the name of Luther's Chicken in the city. It's a fried chicken spot. But I've always been a
Churchill
foodie.
Churchill on Dundas? Or?
Yeah, Churchill, 1212 Dundas Street West. I've always been a foodie. So for me, on the inside, it was quite an enjoyable experience. And Saul will attest to that, I actually had a lot of fun eating all that food. As much as it may have looked a little bit messy, it was...
So describe how you'd handle a souvlaki.
One take is what I'll just
one take. Yeah, let's put it that way. One take.
What did you do?
That's
because people are listening, haven't seen it yet. So
how I handle the souvlaki. Well, I mean, you know, handed to me, just straight to the point. You know, wrap it and go. It's it's really that easy. You know, I think one of the highlights for me of many for the entire project was the eating and enjoying that. You know, it's kind of a bit of comic relief as well on the set. So
he's almost like a zombie.
Yeah, almost.
And I was going to interject here for a sec that McCoy came to us, the only person who auditioned for the film who had a sense of what it would be like to be asleep. He was able to do sleepwalking in his audition almost perfectly. And I think that's because didn't you do some training for a film prior to?
I did. There was a film that I was lucky enough to be cast with, to be a part of a group of people called Blindness. And during that, they gave us a 2-day seminar, which to this day, I still kind of think is incredible, where they had us walking around a set with our eyes closed. The very first day, for about 6 hours, we were blindfolded. And what they wanted us to do was really connect with our senses. You know, naturally, you lose one sense. Your sight of your sense of sight. You know, you heighten your hearing. You heighten your sense of smell. So those are things that I definitely wanted to kind of bring in there, which definitely helped when it came to putting Armin to sleep and having him sort of roam around as he did.
He did very well, and it was immediately convincing. And I think that's what sold me on it. No one else could really convince me.
I'm speaking to Saul Pincus and Nicoy Robinson about their new film, Nocturne. So Saul, while Armin sleeps without dreaming, Cindy dreams without sleeping. She lapses into reveries or memories that are shown using black and white animation, based on a pencil or charcoal drawing on white mm-hmm. paper. Mm-hmm. So talk about your animation. Why did you include it? How did you do it?
The idea behind the animation was to literally illustrate her past, which for her was still a dream that she never was able to take to full fruition. She grew up with her parents, and at age 10, her parents were so into celebrating her work that they self-published a children's book that she wrote and illustrated. Her parents died. She grew up with in the care of an aunt who didn't understand her at all, and she sort of longed to get her mojo back. And that's sort of where we sort of pick her up in the movie. So I felt that the animation sequences would kind of, through the filter of a kind of storybook idea of a child's life, be a good way to sort of enter her psyche. How we did it on this budget, I mean, it's worth noting this film cost $250,000. It was not an expensive movie at all. It's certainly expensive when you're self-financing it, which I did with my wife. But in order to do the animation, I contacted somebody who worked at the NFB, who knew an animator at the NFB who was teaching classes in Montreal, and I was able to be put in contact with Fanny Bertium, who is a wonderful recent graduate, and we spent 10 months going through it. I would storyboard sequences and we would go back and forth every day on it, sometimes multiple times a day.
So the drawings were yours?
It's hard to describe. The drawings weren't mine, But the plan, the shots, where the characters were in the shots, the discussions about style, all the drawings were hers, all the animation was hers, but the timing, she would send me timing tests, we would do it, and we would do it in layers, right, of animation on a single image. So there are several shots which have several hundred layers of movement, and I would put together the layers. She would shoot it literally on a Canon T2i still camera. We had a very do-it-yourself setup, which we knew would be technically okay. And she would shoot it, and she would upload it to me every day, and I get gigabytes and gigabytes of data, and I would sit there with Adobe After Effects and gradually composite the material. So yes, it started in my brain and it ended in my hands, you might say, and then went into the film in a certain way and then there's music and a whole lot of other things which contribute to the feeling.
What was the draw, either one of you, what was the draw of Niagara Falls? What made the characters and what made the film want to head towards Niagara Falls?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for what the draw was, but I mean, it was definitely an incredible experience. And I think that that was one of the pinnacles of the actual movie where everything just kind of came together. For myself, for my character, Armin, he definitely had a lot of himself come through. During that time, probably the most, if not the most emotional scene of the film for him.
That's on the grass at the, near the falls or?
Just in front of the banister.
Right at the rail.
We don't want to say exactly why, because that's part of the deal, but I would agree with Nicole. It was definitely
one of those times for me there where I really had to. And I think this is the time when I disconnected the most from everything else that was going on. and it was incredible, incredible thing. I mean, I guess Saul could really speak on why he chose Niagara Falls for that.
Why I chose Niagara Falls, really, I didn't choose it alone. I chose it with my co-writer, Mitch Magnet. Even though I had the idea for the film, we wrote it together over a period of a number of months. He and I felt that Niagara Falls... And I felt sort of as a filmmaker too that, you know, we were making a small movie and I felt we needed a visual change. And part of it is you sort of conceptualize, you say, okay, it would be nice to have this, and not how can we shoehorn it, but how can the plot naturally develop in a direction that would make that work somehow. So it came to me as a visual idea first. I thought, well, first of all, it's majestic, it's magical, it contains a lot of sort of, I guess it's also kind of cheesy for people who think about it from Toronto, but it also makes the film international in a way that just being in Toronto doesn't, in the sense that I always felt it would allow the film to travel, because one of the things people, you talk to them about in different countries and they think of Canada and they think, oh, Niagara Falls, or they think of, you know, because they're looking for something, a significant landmark of some kind. So I felt for all these reasons it would be useful. Initially, too, we made it work differently. Conceptually in the script, it was a certain way, and then I sort of reconceived some stuff and reworked the imagery a little bit. But we had a great time. I know the crew mentioned to me, "Thanks for that, Saul." After our shooting days in Niagara Falls, thanks. It felt like we were working on a real movie, which is a kind of like okay, but what about the rest?
And Nicole, this is your first feature film. Any plans to do another?
Definitely. I would love the opportunity to get my teeth sunk into something else. Great opportunity. Definitely stretched me beyond, my previous experience, and has definitely given me a lot more tools to build on in the future.
Well, thanks for telling me about this very unusual movie.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking with filmmaker Saul Pincus and actor Nicole Robinson about their new movie Nocturne, showing at Canadian Film Fest at the Royal Cinema at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Go to canfilmfest.ca for more information. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.